This, of course, is Season 3, Episode 81. We are remembering the 1984 Cubs. And now, Crowley, it is time to talk about the postseason. I'm being honest with you, Crowley. I've got a little FOMO. I'm missing it. I'm missing the Cubs being part of this, especially what's happened so far in the National League. I feel like the Cubs could be this close.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I feel like Jed's going to keep thinking that and not make the big moves he needs to do. But there's been a lot of anniversaries. If you follow my Twitter at Crawley's Cubs, you know, there was a lot of memories. Today, for example, I was at game two. Or no, I was not at game two. I was at game three. But today's the anniversary of game two of the Cubs beating the Cardinals in the NLDS. Kyle Hendricks' postseason debut. We had the anniversary the other day of Javi Baez's basket shot over Johnny Cueto.
I was at that game. That's the one game of that run that I got to go to. That was the only playoff game I made that season.
Yeah, I made all of them except for the game four of the World Series, the one that Lackey kind of didn't do real well with. But, you know, you're right. It's just those playoff memories when you take a look at some of this stuff and then you wish you were there and feeling what those fans are feeling. I'd be happy
listening to Pat and Ron on the radio, Crowley, let alone being there.
Right. But for me, just the atmosphere, the playoff atmosphere, the buzz, the excitement. And when something exciting happens, there truly is nothing more magical than that. And so like I said, I see these fans going through it and they're enjoying themselves and I wish we were part of it.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, let's start off on the American League side. And again, games are going on as we're doing this. We have not reached a pinnacle anywhere except over on the National League side. We'll get that in a minute. But let's start off by talking Tigers Guardians.
Yep. Like you said, series is not done. You picked the Guardians. I picked the Tigers. We'll see what happens.
I picked the Guardians?
I thought so. Maybe I'll double check. Maybe I'm wrong.
You better check the memory.
Oh, no. We were both Tigers. Yeah, we were both Tigers. Okay. You're right.
I was going to say, I didn't pick the Guardians.
No. The ones that we disagreed on, I want to say.
I did have the Phillies winning the whole damn Phillies. Thing, and they're gone. Okay.
Mets-Phillies. Yeah, that's what it was.
I know I had the Phillies.
And you had the Tigers, and it wasn't a good start for the Tigers. Holton didn't make it out of the first in game one. Big blow is a 3-run homer by Lane Thomas. David Fry hit a 2-run double in the sixth, and it was all Guardians as they won game one, 7-0. And you had to ask yourself, was the Tiger magic gone?
Right. I thought the momentum would carry, it would help a little bit. I was shocked by the result of that one.
Oh, it was awful. But then game two, you got Tarik Skrubel and, you know, just unbelievable. Pitched 7 shutout innings. But the Guardians, Matthew Boyd, pitched 4 2/3 scoreless innings. And the Guardians bullpen tamed the Tigers offense. In the 8th inning, though, Dustin, some controversies. Tigers had 2 on and 2 out for Wencel Perez. All-star closer Emmanuel Clase comes into the game. Perez hits a ball. I swear it hit the ground. I don't know how the umps and New York, because it was challenged, said Stephen Kwan caught it, right? A.J. Hinch challenges it. New York upholds it, and that keeps Detroit off the board. I thought that was just a bad call, but
I did too. I agree.
You know, maybe they had an angle we didn't, but Clase is still in the game in the 9th, gets the first 2 outs, but gives up back-to-back singles, and then Kerry Carpenter, comes up to the plate and hits a 3-run blast to right. The Tigers stun Cleveland and win game 2, 3-0. Dustin, all sorts of crazy things here. That was the first time anyone has hit Clase slider for a home run in the 2024 season.
That's amazing. Yeah, there's all kinds of numbers on this one.
Right. Yep. The first time Clase has allowed 3 runs in an outing or 3 hits. It was the first home run he gave up to a left-hander since July 4th, 2023. So the guy gives up 5 earned runs in 6 months during the regular season and only 2 home runs. And all of a sudden, boom, he gives up a home run and 3 earned runs. That's just playoff baseball, man.
That's baseball, as my guy Craig Council would say. That's baseball.
But it's especially playoff baseball. And here's the one thing I'll tell you. Do you remember when the Cubs got Brandon Morrow? The Dodgers ran him into the ground. Emmanuel Clase is going to be available, and I guarantee you, man, some team's going to get him, and his arm is going to be – I think he's going to be toast next season, in my opinion.
No? All right. Well, that's fine. As long as it's not our Cubs.
Right. Let's hope. Game 3 playoff baseball returns to Detroit for the first time since 2014, a decade ago. Tigers wasted no time getting the crowd into it. Riley Green had an RBI single in the first, puts Detroit up 1-0. Matt Beerling hit a sac fly in the third to increase the Tigers' lead to 2-0. Spencer Torkelson with an RBI double in the bottom of the sixth made it 3-0. The Tigers used Keiter Montero as an opener. Brant Hunter pitched 3 1/3, and the Tigers' bullpen continued to keep Cleveland off the board. The Tigers' pitching staff, Dustin, has held the Guardians scoreless since the 7th inning of Game 1. That's 20 innings without giving up a run. So the Tigers win Game 3, 3-0. They're one game away from the ALCS.
Pretty amazing. Pretty great story, but that's pretty amazing. We knew for sure that one of the teams, at least, and maybe two of the teams from the White Sox division would be going to the championship series. That leads us into Yankees-Royals.
Yeah, Game 1, neither starter really had it, as Gerrit Cole gave up 4 runs in 5 innings of work for the Yankees, and Royals starter Michael Wacha gave up 3 runs in 4 innings of work. It was a back-and-forth affair with 5 lead changes in the game, Dustin, the most ever in a postseason contest, according to the Elias Sports Bureau. It was an Alex Verdugo RBI single in the 7th that put the Yankees ahead 6-5, and that would be the final. Game 2 didn't look much better, as Carlos Rodon stuck out the side with only 12 pitches in the first, and Giancarlo Stanton hit an RBI single to put the Yankees up 1-0. But the momentum all changed in the 4th as Salvador Perez. I mean, that guy is just unbelievable. Leader of the
Royals. Feels like he's been around for forever.
He's been around at least, 2014, 2015, when they went on their last postseason.
All right. So it is the same Salvador Perez. It's not another
right.
one.
No. Right. He leads off the inning with a solo home run to tie the game. Rondon then gave up a single, threw a wild pitch, gave up another single to Tommy Pham to put the Royals up 2-1. And with 2 outs, Garrett Hampson hit another RBI single, 3-1 Kansas City leads. Just like that, Rodon's night was done. Mikel Garcia added an RBI single. And the Royals scored 4 runs in the 4th. They win the game 2-4. So, Dustin, that takes us to game 3, first playoff game.
Now they're in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, yep. since 2015, their World Series run. The Yankees struck first with Giancarlo Stanton hitting an RBI double in the 4th and Juan Soto hitting a sac fly in the 5th to put New York up 2-0. The Royals struck back in the 5th when Kyle Isbell hit an RBI double and Michael Massey hit an RBI triple to tie the game. But with the score tied at 8, Giancarlo Stanton struck again. Solo home run to put the Yankees up 3-2. That was the final, so the Yankees are one game away from the ALCS. Dustin, when
Giancarlo... And Crowley, they've got Gerrit Cole going in game 4, so they've got their ace lined up to get them to the ALCS.
Absolutely. And when Giancarlo Stanton is healthy, that's what people forget. He's a force, you know what I mean? Just yes, he can't stay healthy.
Well, we cannot stay healthy. All right, Dodgers-Padres. We all thought this was going to be the most exciting of the matchups, right? A lot of star power, a lot of all-stars, a lot of people that everybody would love to have on their favorite baseball team.
Yeah, and you know, Dustin, the games haven't been the greatest, but there's been a lot of drama, right? We knew
a lot of drama, lots of drama.
Right. We knew it was going to be spicy, and it hasn't disappointed. Looked like a good pitching matchup on paper, right? Yeah, spicy. Dodgers rookie Yoshinobu Yamamoto taking on former White Sox Dylan Cease. Neither started last long. The Padres jumped out to a 3-0 lead in the 1st on a Jurickson Profar ground out, and then Manny Machado hit a 2-run blast. The Dodgers would score 3 of their own in their 2nd when Shohei Ohtani, welcome to the postseason, hits a 3-run homer. Nice bat toss to tie the game. The
a little much, Crowley.
No.
I'm okay with it, but it was a little much. It wasn't the game winner. It wasn't a walk-off. Little much for that moment. Little much.
It's supposed to. Dustin, we were talking about the Javi Baez. Go take a look back at that clip. If you remember that, he looked like he was going to hit the ball onto
Kenmore. It was a scoreless game.
It looked like he was going to hit the ball to Kenmore, Javi Baez. And he pimped the hell out of it, and it lasted in the basket. If he would have gotten thrown out at 2nd or something on that, we would have never ended that.
We'd still be talking about it if that
exactly.
would have happened.
Exactly.
Okay, well, but it didn't. I'm just saying the point is that, that at least Javi Baez's home run was won the game.
I like the pimping out in the posting. I'm sorry. I'm pro pimping out. That's where I'm at. But either way, right, you end up having the Padres would answer in the top of the 3rd, 2 on, 2 out. Xander Bogaerts doubled to score 2, and the Padres back up 5-3. Yamamoto would not come out in the 4th inning, going only 3 innings, giving up 5 runs. Things weren't going so well for Dylan Cease either. He would give up back-to-back singles with 1 out. His night was over. Andrian Morihan comes in. He gives up a single to Ohtani to make it 5-3 game. A wild pitch allowed another run to score. The Dodgers are within 1 run. Morhan walked Mookie Betts to load the bases. Freddie Freeman grounds that into a force out. Donovan Solano throws home, and Miguel Rojas is out at the plate. Base is still loaded, but now you got two outs. And our friend of the pod, Jeremiah Estrada, former Cub, he's been on our show. He comes into the game, and Teoscar Hernandez, clutch all season for the Dodgers, hits a single to give the Dodgers a 6-5 lead. They would go on to win that game 7-5.
7-5, the final of game one. Like you said, spicy, lots of fireworks, lots of the stars doing big things. And again, Jeremiah Estrada, you know, is that the guy that got away from the Cubs?
100% think so. Game two wasn't as exciting from a baseball standpoint, but that's where the fireworks really went off between these two rivals.
This is where you know there's a rival, right?
Mm-hmm. Former Cardinal Jack Flaherty on the mound for the Dodgers, and former Cub Yu Darvish took the ball for the Padres. Fernando Tatis hits a solo home run in the first, and David Peralta hit a two-run homer in the second to put San Diego up 3-0 early. Dodgers answer back in the bottom of the inning. Gavin Lux sack fly makes it 3-1. Sixth inning. Fernando Tatis is at the plate. He's already homered and he doubled in his first two at-bats. He gets drilled by Flaherty. Jerks and Profar's on deck. Manny Machado in the hole. They're both mad. Profar singles, but Machado strikes out. Flaherty and Machado are talking smack to each other, but Flaherty is now out of the game. Anthony Banda comes into relief. Jackson Merrill greets him with an RBI single. Padres are up 4-1. In between inning, the chirping is still going on between Flaherty and Machado. Bottom of the seventh, that's when it gets dangerous. Plays stop before the inning starts. Dodgers fans, and I'm air quoting it for those not watching on YouTube, threw a baseball at Jerks and Profar, a few, and then they started throwing beers over at Fernando Tatis Jr. And so the game stopped as Padres manager Mike Schilt and the team huddle up with Profar. PA announcers reminding the fans not to throw objects on the field. I mean, Dustin, it was dangerous. It was ridiculous. And I'm going to say this. I've been to a lot of games. I've met a lot of opposing fan bases. There's nothing worse than Dodger fans. I'll just put that out there. I would rather be at a game with Cardinal fans than Dodger fans.
Yeah, I would agree with you. No doubt about it.
And so whatever was said at that meeting and whatever Machado said in the dugout, Padres come out with some fire. They hit two home runs in the eighth and two more in the ninth, and the Friars win this, or they score two more runs and have two more in the ninth, and the Friars win this one 10-2. The Padres tied a single game MLB postseason record by hitting six home runs, two from Tatis. The other two teams that did it, Dustin, 2023 Phillies and the 2015 Cubs, who previously belted six in NLDS Game 3. I was at that game. It was amazing. But the Padres become the first team to do it on the road in the playoffs. So there was still some bad blood the next day as Dodgers manager Dave Roberts accused Machado of throwing a ball in his direction.
Yeah, that's a weird one. This is where the story gets weird. I'd like a little bit more on that.
And writer Ken Rosenthal for The Athletic wrote a negative article about Machado.
That's being nice. Negatives being nice, Crowley.
Every Padres player refused to talk to Rosenthal before and after game three. So
right. Not welcome in the dugout. You know, usually he gets that on player interview after the game. The guys up in the booth had to end up doing the interview. Really nasty.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And so,
and that's so not Ken Rosenthal. I mean, that's not the Ken Rosenthal I know from back in the Sporting News days.
I mean, you know, Machado's been a guy with controversy, but to say that I haven't seen anything that I saw from any video that made it seem like he's trying to throw at Dave Roberts. He was defending his player Fernando Tatis from getting hit. I think it was just a little. And then again, Rosenthal called Fernando Tatis a peacock, which, again, he kind of is, but he's a writer. You know what I mean? He's got to be careful.
He's a writer, and he's about 140 pounds sopping wet, and he wears a bow tie, and that's his look, and it's all fine and good. But, yeah, that's a pretty heavy-duty accusation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Fox were to pull him and go with somebody else in that role, honestly, especially if the Padres are able to survive.
If the Padres are able to survive.
Again, you can't be, I mean, you know, it's unusual.
He injected himself into the conversation.
Right. You are not supposed to be part of the story.
Right.
As a writer. Yep.
So game three, the series heads back to San Diego, where Michael King faced off against Walker Buehler. Dodgers get on the board first when Mookie Betts, who's been struggling for a while now, hit a leadoff home run to put the Dodgers up 1-0. San Diego roars back in the second, scoring six runs, which marked the Padres' highest scoring postseason inning in franchise history. The first five Padres reached base on a single, a fielder's choice, and an error. A fielder's choice, a two-run David Peralta double, a single, and a sac fly. That made it 4-1. And then the Peacock, Fernando Tatis Jr., added the exclamation point. Two-run homer makes it 6-1. Padres. Allie came back in the third, the first three Dodgers reaching. Freddie Freeman lined out, but Teoscar Hernandez, there he is again, hits a grand slam to cut the Padres' lead to 1. But San Diego's bullpen was able to pitch 4 shutout innings to give the Friars a 6-5 win. Dustin, unfortunately for the Padres, momentum didn't keep going in game 4. As the Dodgers absolutely blew out the Mets. Blew out the Padres. Dylan Cease has had a brutal postseason. Dustin, yep. His ERA right now, he's only able to go 1 2/3 innings, gave up another 3 runs. His ERA right now is 14.40 in the postseason.
Yeah, Mookie Betts took him deep in the first inning, and the Dodgers just kept adding on as the game rolled. So that game now is, that series is 2-2. Game 5, Friday night, former Cub Yu Darvish taking the ball for the Padres. The game's in L.A. against the Dodgers, obviously Padres. And the Dodgers still haven't named a pitcher. They might be going with some type of a bullpen game. And then the winner of this series is going to be the host team for the National League Championship Series that opens up on Sunday somewhere in California. And who are they going to play, Crowley? Who?
They are going to play the amazing Mets. Here they come again. Unbelievable. Game 1, Kyle Schwarber keeps his usual postseason heroics. A leadoff home run in the first put the Phillies up 1-0. And Zach Wheeler was magnificent, pitching 7 shutout innings. Dustin, he only gave up 1 hit. 1 hit, and they're up 1-0. Unfortunately for the Phillies, there's 9 innings in a game, and the Mets have a flair for the late-inning comebacks. Oof. Once Wheeler came out, the Mets scored 5 runs. Mark Vientos, Brandon Nimmo, J.D. Martinez had RBI singles. Pete Alonso and Starlin Marte each had a sac fly. And the Mets stunned the Phillies with a 6-2 win in Game 1. Game 2 was another classic in a postseason that's been filled with them. The Mets jumped out to an early lead as Mark Vientos had a 2-run blast in the third. Pete Alonso with a solo home run in the sixth. That put New York up 3-0. Phillies answer back in the bottom of the sixth. Bryce Harper hit a 2-run blast to make it a 1-run game. And then Nick Castellanos, back-to-back Jack solo shot to tie the game. Brandon Nimmo would untie it for the Mets with a solo home run in the seventh, but the Phillies would score 3 in the bottom with the eighth. Brandon Stott driving in 2 runs with a triple and then scoring on a JT Realmuto's fielder's choice. Top of the ninth, Mets are down 6-4. Here they come again. Francisco Lindor on first. Mark Vientos hits his second home run of the game to tie it up. Dustin, how many late inning hits does this team have in them?
Yeah, they got 9 lives.
So it looked like the Mets magic continues, but then all of a sudden in the bottom of the ninth, 2 outs, Trey Turner and Bryce Harper both draw walks. And then Nick Castellanos, who was booed earlier in the game, hits a walk-off single to even the series with a 7-6 victory. But you know what? I just hate, you know, the Phillies and the booing their own players.
Yeah, their fans are brutal. Their fans are just brutal. Yep.
Takes us to game 3. New York starts spreading the news. Sean Manaea on the bump for the Mets against Aaron Nola. Manaea pitches a gem. He went 7 innings, gave up 1 run. For Aaron Nola, rough one. Pitched 5 innings, gave up 4 runs on 5 hits, including 2 home runs. Solo home runs by Pete Alonso and Jesse Winker. Phillies bullpen gave up 2 in the 6th. And 2 in the 7th and 1 in the 8th as the Mets took this one 7-2. So that takes us to game 4. Win or go home for the Phillies.
Do or die time. Yeah.
Right. The Phillies got off to a 1-0 lead when Bryce Harper scored on a fielder's choice, but that was the only run. Jose Quintana, there he is again. He gave up in 5 innings, and the Mets bullpen pitched 4 shutout innings. Mets had a lot of opportunities to score in the first 5 innings, but couldn't get the tying run across until the 6th inning when Francisco Lindor came up to bat, bases loaded, and he hits a grand slam, the third one in Mets postseason history to put the Mets ahead 4-1, and that would be the final. The Mets are the first team to punch their ticket to the NLCS. Dustin, boy, oh boy. I mean, We now have three.
They were 10 games under 500 not that long ago. 10 games under 500. This is why, you know, you just have to get yourself into the tournament, and you don't know what's going to happen from there. Get yourselves into the tournament, Cubs. Get yourself in.
Yep. And so as we stand right now, the Guardians and the Tigers are playing while we're recording this. Detroit needs a win. It's tied at one. They only have two hits, but they got a run. And then tonight is going to be Yankees-Royals. Win or go home for the Royals. We'll see what happens. Gerrit Cole, like you said, versus Michael Wacha. That definitely looks like it's in New York's favor. But that's, again, that's why we play the games. And hopefully, right. But like I said, this has been a fun postseason, and I'm looking forward to seeing what the league championship series looks like.
Right. Well, I'm going to predict Yankees and Tigers. I think they're going to be, by the time we get back together, they'll be the teams. I'm really having a hard time with this Padres Dodgers game five. I mean, I like the fact that Yu Darvish is throwing, but it's in LA. You know, Freddie Freeman hasn't played the last couple of games, so that could be a potential issue. I would think that whichever team is representing California would beat the Mets, but boy, I mean, they're playing out of their minds.
I'm not going to bet against the Mets. I'm not going to, again, that's why I picked them to beat the Phillies. It's why I picked the Tigers to beat Cleveland. I got a
feeling. What are you predicting in Dodgers Padres Friday night?
I'm going to go with the Padres. I'm going to go with the Yankees, and I'm going to go with the Tigers. I think the Padres.
All right. So you and I are right. We're simpatico. We're almost exactly the same. I'm just kind of a coin flip on that Dodgers Padres. I think I'm cheering for the Padres, so believe it or not.
I know I hate it. You got to do it. You know, you kind of just hold your nose while you do it. But I'm tired of the Dodgers. I'm tired of the Dodgers fans. I love Yu Darvish. I don't like
you. Love Yu Darvish.
I love Yu Darvish. Yeah,
all right. Interesting.
Yeah, I think he was a great player for the Cubs. He was injured his first season, unfortunately. And here's a guy that, you know, some people had talked some smack about him, and he still has talked up the Cubs and really helped that Japanese connection. So I have nothing but nice things to say about Yu Darvish. I thought he's a great teammate. You know, again, guys are going to get injured. That happens. And unfortunately, I don't know if we saw the best, but I think Yu Darvish is somebody that really, again, he could have badmouthed the Cubs, told people not to come here, and he never did any of that. So for that, I'll always be thankful.
That's a wrap. Don't forget to listen, download, review, and subscribe to the Fly the W podcast. Follow on the socials, Facebook, Instagram. Of course, we're on Twitter. You can email Crowley and I, flythew670@gmail.com. And you can watch us, you heard Crowley talk about it earlier, by subscribing to that 670 The Score YouTube channel. Crowley, enjoy the baseball. Sadly, yesterday, that would have been Wednesday, was the last time we will have four games on in a day in baseball until we get to late March, I guess.
Yep, enjoy it while we got it. We'll still be here cheering even though the Cubs are not in it. Go Cubs!